the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
It's been a busy period for the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, and it's only getting busier. Part of the reason for this is that AI has opened up new opportunities for scammers, and it takes fantastic agility to stay on top of it. From the Bankso scam to copy trading and so-called finfluencers, the FSCA has been working overtime to sanitize the financial markets. Joining us to explore this and some of the recent developments in the world of crypto and finance is Gerard van Deventer, Head of Enforcement at the FSCA. Hi, Gerard. Good to talk to you again, and thanks once again for your time.
Hi, Kieran. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, good to see you. Take us through quickly some of the stats that you have in terms of enforcement and investigations you're busy with. I did say that you're having a very busy time, and maybe just explain to us why that is.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kieran, and thanks for the opportunity. It's definitely not so that we are concerned that the division is going to close down. It seems like enforcement will always have a job, and journalists that report on that will always have a job. But on a serious note, of course, we really try very hard to get the message out there. On the scam side and the impersonation side, that's not our core business. Our core business is really looking out for regulated entities that goes off the rails, because as you can imagine, Kieran, that's where the real risk for the industry or for the public lies, is if somebody that has a license and that there's that comfort that you can trust them. If that goes wrong, we need to be on it very quickly. But to answer your question, yes, we will always be busy, and we always find more effective way to have our warnings have impact. What we've seen lately is, of course, a lot of signal scams to start off with. And I'm talking about, we got about over 360 new cases in this year that we have to deal with. We finalized just over 400, and that means either full investigations and enforcement action or public warnings or packaging for the police or our sister regulators. But in terms of that, there's at least 130 warnings to date to the public. But of course, that's a drop in the ocean of what's really happening. We see a lot of signal scams these days that seem to be very popular. So this is basically where somebody sells signals. And in this case, for my generation people, signal doesn't really mean your turning signal. It means that you literally get advice on what to buy and sell in derivatives, contracts for difference mostly. So firstly, that's a derivative instrument. It's a highly geared instrument. It's a very dangerous instrument. So people sell these signals. There are people that pay for it, that follow this advice. And of course, most instances, Kieran, that ends very sadly. I mean, the first thing is those people are not at all registered or trained or have the qualifications to do it. But what makes it worse is that most of it are scams. They get the money in for selling the signals, and it's all nonsense. And they get access to fake platforms, and people get into that. So we can't say enough that people must stay away from that. If they really want to take that risk, at least go to a regulated platform. And then the question is, oh, but what why can't you follow the money? Money goes into mule accounts. So you copy mule accounts with fake platforms, with signals, and you've got yourself a very effective scam. We have seen a lot of impersonation of FSCA personnel still. It's a nice way when we put out a public warning to then pick that up and say, well, I'm from the FSCA and I'm going to help you to get your money back. But of course, you have to make this payment first. So that's a scam that the public must look out for. We immediately put out a warning, but by that time, a lot of money is gone already. Of course, all of this is still focused on social media. That's definitely the area of choice, Kieran, these days. Social media is where it all happens. It can happen quickly. You can reach a lot of people. So I'm probably not very popular for saying this, but my advice is always don't do business. Don't do investment business on social media. That's just not on. We of course see a lot of advertisements and scams for people to buy trading robots, so AI to trade on your behalf, and there's these fake setups of how well this account is doing, fake accounts, how well they're doing. And of course, the ones that we all know very well, and that's the guy standing next to the muscle car with a lovely girl next to the muscle car as well. All of that is something that people clearly want. So it works really well. And of course, that's all fake. There's no real profits. There are real profits, because that's the profits being stolen from the public. So deepfakes, the technology on deepfakes is so fantastic these days. It is so amazing. I won't even know a deepfake of myself is a deepfake. It's that one so well done, and our commissioner and so forth. Finfluencers, something that we're very interested and very focused on, but there's more to that. And of course, the top platform for scams is still Telegram, still the big problem. And WhatsApp groups also works really well, because you can keep the regulator out.
Right. Okay, there's a lot going on there. And fake impersonation seems to be a big problem. But let's talk for a minute about crypto. I mean, this is another area your department is monitoring. How's the sector behaving? There's now a little bit more than 300 crypto asset service provider licenses. That's quite a lot that you've got to monitor. You're getting reports flowing in every month from all of these different CASP license holders. So how are they behaving?
Well, I can't say surprisingly well, because I shouldn't say surprisingly, but it's always been the history for us has always been, if we start regulating, supervising a new area, that there's a lot of unregistered business overflow. There's a lot of cowboy activity because these people are not used to being regulated. I have to say that's not really what we've seen. Just looking at the unregistered business for now, we're still carrying on from the enforcement division side to look at everybody that may be involved in crypto and record that as an investigation. So those are people registered with the FIC, but not with us. We ask the question why. We look at their bank accounts, etc. Of course, then there's social media monitoring from our side. Any mention of crypto, we follow that up. I do not see a wave of unregistered crypto providers happening out there like we had with the ODPs a few years ago. So I think that's good news. We will look harder in case we just don't see it, but I don't think that's the case. Talking about the regulated guys, on that one, yes, of course, you need a framework, a supervisory and a regulatory framework to regulate them. And you're right, there's returns, etc. So a lot of the CASPs, the crypto assets providers, so we're talking the product provider here, are of course banks. So they are well regulated. They are very comfortable within the regulated space. The non-banking ones, we have lots of interaction with them. And I think so far it's going very well. So that's the product provider side. Then there's also the FSP side. So this is the intermediary side, where people now apply for an additional license or an additional category so that they can add that to their license, being intermediary to an ODP. On that side, FSPs, there's always a group there that's problematic. A lot of our work happens in that area. So we look out for FSPs that link up with the wrong ODP, an unregistered, unregulated ODP. But yes, we have a few cases, but I also don't see a massive issue there, Kiran. So I'm happy to say I think it's going well all over if you take a balanced look at it.
Okay, one of the most recent cases you had, it was decided in favor of the FSCA, and it happened last month. I think it was in the Pretoria High Court, and involved a company called Fusion Guarantees. And they issue construction guarantees. So maybe you might explain what that is. Well, you took offense to this. You took them to court. The FSCA disagreed that they were basically arguing that what they were doing was not an insurance business and therefore didn't fall under your purview. And the court agreed with you. What was that case about?
Yes, yeah, you're right. It was the Gauteng High Court, and you are right. We did take offense to it on behalf of the public, of course. So this is all about government contracts, state organ contracts, government and municipalities. So when a tender is put out and won by somebody, of course, in South Africa and probably worldwide, there's always the concern that this contract might not finish well. So you need to put down insurance, a guarantee policy for that. This has been happening for a very long time, and somebody saw the opportunity and started writing these guarantees. But I mean, just normal firms or one-man bands, and you would appreciate, you need really deep pockets, a lot of risk management and a lot of capital adequacy and that type of thing if you want to get into insurance. So there's been this argument all along that this is not really an insurance product. This is more of an NCR product, and we have no business talking to them. We disagreed, of course. It's been a long fight. And I had several cases on ice waiting for the outcome of this case. So the argument is basically that if it's an NCR product, it can't be an FSCA product. Or if it's something else, another legal instrument, it can't be insurance. The court has now definitely said, no, this is an insurance product and you require an insurance license. And as you can imagine, that's not an easy license to get, And that's why what this case is about, why it is so important. We've already seen the failures. We've seen the failures in those government contracts, unfortunately, actually happening, and then these municipalities try to call under guarantee, and needless to say, behind the guarantee is a man of straw. So that's the real harm here, you know, the unfortunate harm. So we are very happy with this, and we've now unhooked all the cases on ice, and we'll carry on with that enforcement. I have no doubt, Kiran, that there will be appeals going forward, but we have word from the High Court now, and we're proceeding.
Okay, then, of course, a construction guarantee, I guess this is where a contractor is brought in to do some work. He doesn't do the work that that was promised. Then you call on the guarantee. And this obviously involved government departments where work wasn't done. It does seem like if it's not a licensed business from an insurance point of view, that there's plenty potential there for misbehavior, scamming, outright scamming, I would say, huh?
Absolutely. That is exactly in that arena, and yeah, that's the arena that can't afford it. And you're right. As in our view, it's just fraud.
Let's talk about the Bankso issue. Bankso finally liquidated. This is where they were using deep fake scams to attract customers, promised unrealistic returns. A very, very typical type of scam operation there. Okay, we've spoken about that, and MoneyWeb has done plenty articles and investigations into that. My question to you is, has this harmed the CFD, the Contracts for Difference market, the online broking market at all? Because we see, you know, a lot of CFD traders, you know, or platforms setting up, coming into South Africa, trying to come into South Africa. Has this been a harmful thing, the Bankso scam?
I have no doubt, Kiran, that it is a harmful thing, and there's more harm to come because there are more investigations. And this is also not the first one. We had BAS4, we had iBreach and so forth in the past. OMBreach. it harms everybody's reputation. It certainly harms the CFD trade's reputation. And it will make people more wary of it. So let me hasten to add, that's not a bad thing. CFDs, by its very nature, is a very high-risk investment. If I can get that message out 24 hours a day, I won't stop. It is not for people playing with their pension. It is really something that you do because you have money that you can lose. But of course, if you add this type of scam to it, it really makes it much worse. Not a South African thing, international thing. In fact, we are going to present this case on an international forum in the next few months because of the learnings in it. But yes, it has harmed it, and I mean, there's a lot of there's enough platforms out there that are well run and that are well regulated where you can buy this type of product or you can trade in this type of product with the necessary risk management in place. But yes, this type of thing makes news. It makes international news. It is South Africa that's in the news for all the wrong reason, no doubt. And following closely on it, more cases, Kieran, there's no doubt that there's harm to it. So our reaction to this is those people will never work in our markets again. And certainly we need to speak to the criminal prosecution authorities about it as well.
Right. And of course, CFDs being the real danger there is they're highly leveraged. So you're putting down maybe 1,000 rand, but it's giving you exposure to sometimes 100 times that. So 100,000 rands worth of exposure in the market, a very small movement in the market against you will blow you out and blow your money completely. And I think a lot of these CFD platforms, they rely on companies blowing their account. I've seen some very alarming stats about that. Internationally, where you know people typically blow their accounts within weeks, you know, within a couple of weeks of starting up.
Sometimes overnight, Kieran. We've got cases, we've got statements from victims where it happens overnight, and then that person wakes up in a complete anxiety state, and then phones and say, "What happened? What have you done?" And then, of course, the real terrible bite comes in, and then the same people will say, calm down, I'm going to help you to trade out of this, commit more money to it. And then they do, and then they get taken for a second round until they are really dry. So you're right, because of the gearing effect, even if it's a legitimate operation, it can wipe you out very quickly. And the one thing that the public must understand is they're taking advice from the person on the other side of the transaction in a zero-sum game. So if they lose, the person giving you advice is winning and vice versa. So why would you take that advice?
Right. So they're basically trading against their clients. So they're not Absolutely. With their clients. They're against them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now, I'm interested about this new tool that the FSCA has got. It's called IOSCO. You better explain what that is. Yeah. My understanding is it's a centralized database of regulatory warnings from all around the world. Is this a big deal, and how's it going to help the South African market?
I think it's very good that this has been created. So IOSCO is the International Organization of Securities Commissioner. So it's an organization that we belong to. It's very, very useful. And they have an enforcement subcommittee that I belong to. So they really look at what's coming down the road, how can we help each other? And of course, they also help with cross-border investigations. So a very good thing. They have developed iScan, and it's basically a platform where all the financial regulators can submit warnings and information about scams, about regulated entities going off the rails, anything that is harmful to the public. And then we're going to allow the public and other role players like SA Fraud Prevention Services and so forth, access to this. So you get a magnificent access to a lot of information. So I think it will be a really good reference if you're doing your due diligence. And now South Africans will have it available to them, and our warnings will automatically land there. And when we, for instance, withdraw a license of a regulated entity, that will land there. So I think it's a really, really good thing.
And where will this be available? Is it on going to be on the FSCA website?
We are looking at putting a link on the FSCA website, yes. The exact technical issues, you're asking the wrong guy, but we will definitely make sure that we tell the public about it when it's operational.
And when will this become available?
iScan is already operational. We're just busy creating some internal protocols about who puts it on, who puts the information on, because, of course, there's always the risk of putting the wrong information on. iScan itself also has a filter. So if there's any poppy contraventions or anything like that, it will filter that out and so forth. But it's just protocols being built, and then we will away. So I can't give you a time, but I'm sure it's a matter of weeks.
Okay, final question, Gerard. Let's just go back to this issue of the deep fake scams. They've become very sophisticated. You mentioned, you know, even employees at the FSCA were being used as models, can I put it like that, for these deep fake scams. Yes. So they would take an image of Gerard van Deventer and they would make you talk and, you know, and here's Gerard promoting which is obviously a Ponzi scheme. And what better authority than that? But, you know, you've got people like celebrities like Elon Musk and Johann Rupert. They've also used their likenesses and their images. Give us an idea of this whole area of AI has become quite frightening in the speed with which some of these scams can develop and how convincing they can be. How do you stay on top of that?
So you're absolutely right. You know, there was a time that you and I both remember where you can see a scam a mile away because the English is bad, the information is not correct, the website is one-dimensional, et cetera, et cetera. Those days are over. It's very, very sophisticated operations run by experts, and it's often syndicates that operate across the world. We have certain areas, and if something comes from that area, you know, it's already a red flag, unfortunately. Cyprus is a good example of that. Israel is a good example of that. So it is problematic, but it is so very sophisticated today that it is really impossible to tell for the man in the street. So the best is to stay away from that type of thing on social media. The trick here, of course, is that if you try to impersonate somebody like me, there won't be a lot of material to work off on the internet. So you won't get a great result. If you try to do that with somebody like you or, you know, somebody like Taylor Swift, you can get a fantastic product because there's lots of material to work with. So feeding in to the AI creator, a lot of data, a lot of videos, etc. What comes out on the other side is absolutely perfect to the human mind or to the human eye. That is really, really difficult to distinguish. So the moment we see it, we do the warning. There's also the possibility of actually, let me put it this way. You're not going to win this by just warning the public all the time. That's always reactive. So an important part of what we're doing is engaging with the social media platforms to say to the social media platforms, what can we do and what can you do to filter a whole lot better so we can stop it before it starts? And of course, iScan will play a role in that. That'll be a reference point for the social media platforms to say, well, here is a place where I can look. And internationally, there's been successful discussions with social media platforms, and we're following in that and trying to do the same in South Africa. I don't think if you don't stop it there, that you're ever going to make an impact. And I'm not saying we're going to stop it, but we can improve.
All right. Never, never, never take any financial advice from social media, I think is the message there. And be very suspicious if you see a well-known celebrity or authority giving financial advice. It's probably going to be an AI deepfake, correct?
That's absolutely correct. It's not worth it. And it's so easy to pick up the phone and phone your regulated broker and say to him, what do you think? He or she will tell you it's a fake.
Right. Gerard van Deventer, head of enforcement at the FSCA, thank you very much for your time once again, Gerard.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.